Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 35. So. Winter came to the Twin Cities carried on a bloody draft of wind that blew through Piltover and Zaun. The borders were awash with blood and bodies from increasingly pointless skirmishes as they traded territory day by day, and sometimes hour by hour. Weeks passed, then a month as the third mark of the year kept along in jumps and starts. A madness was beginning to grip Piltover. Caitlin had been able to see it and feel it and almost taste it ever since the fall of the Sungate. Every passing day seemed to unhinge the city a little more. People were angry and scared. They jumped at shadows and scowled at one another. They did not speak and they did not open their windows. That, above all, they did not open their windows. Because a word was spreading through the city that caused even greater fear and terror. Plague. It stalked the streets of Piltover like a reaper. A month ago, Caitlin had given the orders to her MPs that a full district in the north was to be sealed off. A week later, it became two, then three. Now four whole districts were designated as plague wards. And not even the sycophantic journalists of the Conservator could afford to ignore it anymore. That was when the word really started to spread. That wasn't to say that the people of Piltover hadn't known that a plague was spreading. But it was a neighborhood thing, or maybe a district thing. It could be ignored if you tried hard enough. You could look away and pretend it was just some passing disease caused by all that sewer blockage that had, thankfully, finally been cleaned up and rerouted. The people could have told themselves that lie in perpetuity, that the plague would soon vanish now that the topside pipes had been rebuilt and clean water was flowing again. They could lie to themselves that it was just taking time because that was how diseases worked, if only the newspapers hadn't started reporting the unseemly truth. Because it ought to have been getting better, not worse. It ought to have been spreading less, not more. And it was spreading more. "Lock off the south and west exits," Caitlin said numbly as she stared down over a map of the 7th District. "Post notices of quarantine and tender a report to the Damasian chirurgeons."
"Yes, ma'am."
A masked MP saluted before leaving to obey her orders, and it took Caitlin a moment to recognize Lieutenant Tal. Everyone outside was wearing those masks, and it almost made Caitlin laugh at how much like Zaun they were becoming now that disease and toxin had spread into their city. When she had been a child, those masks had been signs of poverty and failure. Signs that the person dwelt in the Undercity. They needed those masks because their air was bad. And as a child, she had been given that statement with the ugly framework to suggest that it was their fault. As if Piltover hadn't been the one demanding more and more protection from the colonies, poisoning the air and the water and even the bloody stone. Now Piltover was finally getting a taste of what happened when the filth finally fills up and spills over the edge. The problem was that Zaun had been swimming in the stuff for years. They knew how to live through it. Piltovans had spent those same years ignoring the horrors they had inflicted and steadfastly refusing to learn from their mistakes, as if ignorance were some kind of cardinal virtue. They were paying for that ignorance now, and if it weren't for Vi sharing her people's tricks and secrets for surviving such things, they could have lost a lot more people. Not soldiers. Civilians. That was where the anger was coming from. The people of Piltover had seemingly convinced themselves, despite the fact that the war was happening essentially inside of their own city, that they could ignore it. That the war would not affect them, because after all, they weren't soldiers. They weren't the ones fighting. Only the ones fighting would be affected by Zaun's reprisals. Once again, as if they hadn't been party to killing thousands upon thousands of Zaunites for 200 years, who had not agreed to fight at all. Of course, the irony was very much lost on them. They were angry in the same way that Zaun was angry, but they couldn't see what they had in common because Camille did not want them to. She had a death grip on the newspapers. and even the more moderate rags like the Herald were parroting the same line in the same vein as the headline that had come out that very morning. Caitlin picked up the paper and scoffed as she scanned the header again for the millionth time. Zahn's atrocities continue. Funny how tainting the water and filling the air with poison was suddenly an atrocity when it applied to Piltover, but when it happened to Zahn, it was just business. It made Caitlin sick. What made her sicker was the fact that people were buying it. They could say that Zahnites live in filth, all while ignoring the source of that filth, and in the same breath condemn them for spreading it.
Mom, there's a problem.
Tal was back, and Caitlin looked up at him with more weariness in her bones than she'd felt in a long time. What is it now? Caitlin groaned.
The people,
Lieutenant Tal said, and she could hear the pain in his voice even through the muffling effect of the mask.
They're rioting again.
Caitlin scoffed. Of course they are. Putting on her greatcoat and slinging her rifle over her shoulder, Caitlin stepped out of the hastily raised tent she had been using as a command center and into the gray light and chilly rain of the afternoon. Winter was going to be cruel this year.
Mum, your mask.
Lieutenant Tal held out one of the sleek metal masks that the rest of them wore. They were hideously dehumanizing things with glass lenses and smooth planes of white. Sighing, she took it and fitted it over her face.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Of course, Mum.
Tal saluted again, then said,
Follow me.
She fell in step behind him as they strode through the encampment. They had pulled it together the night before on the border between District 7 and 8 when she had gotten the order out that come morning, the whole of 7 was going to be designated the latest plague ward. No one in the district had been warned in order to maintain the sanctity of the quarantine, but people had figured it out anyway, as they usually did. Already the MPs, along with detachments of the 45th Cadre and the Demacian 110th, had thrown back riots that had made every attempt to breach the gates. The faces of the Piltovans on both sides were horrible to behold. However ignorant the Cadremen were in their desire to fight Zahn, they had signed up to fight Zahn, and now they were fighting their own goddamn people. Caitlin heard them before she saw them. It was the sound of angry men and women shouting, combined with the sounds of rubble and cans bouncing off of armor and shields. And they were the voices of a people who had, until recently, never truly known what it felt like to be the targets of injustice, and this was an injustice. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, hell, even a year ago, the sight of it would have made Caitlin's blood boil. And it still did, but for a different reason. Before, it would have made her righteously furious. Now it just made her angry. She was tired, frustrated, and angry as she pushed her way through the line of MPs, before pulling her rifle from her back, loading it, pointing it up and to the left, and pulling the trigger. The deafening report sent a shock through the crowd on both sides. The people of District 7 stared at her in mute fury mixed with fear as she lowered her rifle and said,
This district is sealed by order of Clan Pharos. If you have a problem with that, you can take it up with the clan once they arrive. Until then, disperse to your homes in a peaceful manner. You can't do this to us,
a man shouted.
We're citizens!
A rote reprisal came to Caitlin's lips. But it died there before it could come out. She was so tired and so done. So all she could really think of in response to that were two simple words.
Why not? Excuse me,
the voice said. And Caitlin blinked dully as she realized she'd accidentally said her thought out loud. People pulled back, revealing the man who had spoken. He was a portly gentleman on the wrong side of middle age with a mustache that suggested regular appointments at the barber and an outfit that was on the finer side of sturdy, but was made for work and wear more than show. An artisan then, most likely.
What the hell did you just say?
He advanced on her, but Caitlin couldn't find it in herself to care, so she repeated herself.
I said, why not?
Caitlin took a step forward and lowered her rifle.
We've been doing it to the people of the Undercity since long before they seceded and formed Zorn. Meaning that they were citizens too, just poorer.
She smiled thinly under her mask.
You seem old enough to remember that time, so tell me, what makes you so special? What makes any of you?
She directed to the rest of the crowd.
Special! Other than that you live topside and not at the bottom of the barrel. Give any idea who I am?
The man snarled as he advanced. Without warning, rage took her. Anger the likes of which she hadn't felt in her whole life crashed over her in a red wave, and without thinking, she stepped forward and slammed the butt of her rifle into the man's face, sending him sprawling to the ground, howling as he bled copiously from his broken nose.
I don't care!
Caitlin stepped back and wiped the smear of red from the stock of her rifle before slinging it back over her shoulder.
Now go back home. Because you're the new trash now that Zorn's fighting back.
Weak shouts of protest started to answer her. The fury was dissolving in the acid of fear as the dumb, bovine realization struck the crowd seemingly all at once, that whatever immunity they'd imagined themselves to possess was just that, an imagined thing. Their immunity was no more than a comforting phantasm that they had clung to as the world heaved around them, and Caitlin had just shattered it with her rifle butt.
Welcome to the bottom of the barrel!
Caitlin marked before making a slashing motion with her hand.
Batons out!
Her MPs snapped their batons free of the leather loops at their belt. Caitlin could feel the pallid, gut-wrenching tension coming from the women and men under her command. They would follow her orders. She knew that much. Whether they would be able to live with themselves was another question. Fortunately, they would never have to find out. The rioters, such as they were, backed away, cowed and miserable. The crowd stumbled back, retreating as two men pulled the artisan with the broken nose along with them. Behind them, the rain washed away the blood Caitlin had spilled in rivulets that ran pink between the tiles of the street. A few drops of blood to spare gallons, and that wasn't counting the lives she probably saved by maintaining the quarantine line. The plague was spreading, and there didn't seem to be anything that she could do to stop it outright, but in this way at least, she could stop people from contributing to the spread too severely.
Maintain the barricade until the district can be fully sealed,
Caitlin said as she turned away toward the camp.
If anyone tries to break quarantine, stop them. Non-lethally, I assume?
Lieutenant Tal asked as he reappeared at her elbow. Caitlin sighed, then said,
Sure, why not? Mums, do your damn job, Tal, and make sure they don't leave!
Caitlin said, shooting him a glare.
Is that understood? Yes, Mum.
Lieutenant Tal gave her a shaky salute, then turned back to do his duty. Hypocrites. They were all a bunch of insufferable hypocrites. Where was that reticence when it came to bringing the hammer down on Zahn for 2 centuries? Where were the weak stomachs and dry mouths during the bridge riots that ignited the fuse which eventually led to Jinx's first roar of defiance? Where had this outpouring of humanity been when it might have actually mattered? Caitlin stopped cold as she registered that there was someone standing between her and the flap of her command tent. No, not someone. Something. A black-armored cadre, armor and helm masking any signs of when they might have once been human as well as whatever had been done to them.
Well, Caitlin asked, I assume your mistress would like a word with me, so you're going to move or not?
If there was anything human left under that mask, it didn't show, as it seemed to regard her like a confused dog for a moment before stepping aside. And Caitlin swallowed back an instinctive rush of revulsion that came out of nowhere. There was something in the way they moved that got her on edge. It was something not altogether wholesome nor natural, but she couldn't put a finger on what exactly. Putting it out of her mind, Caitlin stepped into her tent. There, sitting in her chair behind her desk, was Camille Pharos, one bladed leg folded over the other as she looked over the reports that Caitlin had been sifting through.
I'd offer you some tea, but I'm afraid we're a bit low on supplies at the moment,
Caitlin said as she shed her coat and hung it to dry in a stand nearby, before taking off her mask.
No need. I'll be on my way soon enough,
Camille replied without looking up. May I ask why the illustrious matriarch of Clan Pharos is down grubbing about in the mud with the rest of us, or is that classified as need to know? The corner of Camille's mouth twitched in an uncommon show of emotion from the augmented woman.
Believe it or not, I came down to compliment your work, she said as she looked up from the reports. You've efficiently and effectively managed the plague cordon, resulting in 40% fewer escape attempts than I projected, with no major breaches. In addition, you've continued to execute your duties as Commandant of the Military Police with exemplary skill.
Good to know that you were assuming my failure, Caitlin replied as she sat down in the chair she usually reserved for visitors and slouched back in it. She was too tired and too damned angry.
I assumed your treachery, actually, Camille replied as she picked up a report and examined it critically.
Caitlin clenched her jaw, schooling her face to anger, which was easier than it ought to have been, as she said,
Because I married a Zonite?
Because you're a bleeding heart,
Camille corrected her. Ah, of course, my mistake. Caitlin smiled through her teeth at the insufferable woman.
I've made no secret that I disagree with you on almost every level, down to the most fundamental basics, Lady Pharos, but my oath was to protect this city and its people, and my intention...
She tapped on the desk between them twice as she glared daggers at Camille.
Is to uphold this oath, even if it means protecting them from you. Remember that. The next time you accuse me of sedition.
Camille finally set the last report down, then slowly folded her hands in front of herself as she said,
We don't have to be enemies in this, Brigadier Kerman. My intention is to bring this war to a final conclusion, and I will soon have the tools necessary to do so, to minimize the suffering of all.
She held out a hand.
Your aid and expertise would be appreciated, and it would certainly speed up the process.
I won't help you euthanize an entire city, Camille,
Caitlin said as she drew back.
I'll do my job, because there's no one else who can, but that is as far as I will go.
Her hand still extended, Camille said,
I'm not offering you authority or power. I'm offering peace, Brigadier. Whether you approve of my methods or not, the fact is that I gave you and yours a chance to prove that Zon was worth saving, and you failed.
Caitlin shook her head as bile threatened to burn her throat raw.
That's your problem, she said. I was never trying to save Zon, Lady Pharos. All this time I've been trying to do my job and save Piltover.
I am saving Piltover, Camille said as she finally withdrew her hand.
No! Caitlin said. You're just destroying Zon.
Camille made a dismissive gesture.
It's the same thing.
If you had the slightest idea how wrong that is, you would understand why so many people hate you,
Caitlin replied wearily. In a way, Caitlin pitied Camille. She was a brilliant woman. And if it weren't for her irrational hatred, she would have been able to do so much good. Her sole focus was on the extermination of Zon, but beneath that, Caitlin saw an incisive mind made weak and brittle with prejudice and cold rage. With that said, she did not think that Camille was stupid. Piltover was practically burning around her and to the rest of the city and to her troops. Excepting her mindless blackguards, it must have seemed like madness. Perhaps it was after a fashion, because Caitlin had long since realized that Camille was absolutely willing to burn Piltover to the ground if she thought she might catch Zon in the Inferno.
I do not require popularity nor affection, Brigadier,
Camille replied.
I require competence. And so long as you and your wife do your jobs, that is all I will require.
Good, because that's all you're going to get, Caitlin replied.
That was when Camille actually smiled. And it was almost offensive how human it looked.
You know, she said, I feel sorry for people like you, people with morals. It must be a terrible thing to believe in right and wrong, and for the world to so vehemently and so often disagree with you.
My morals keep me human,
Caitlin replied stiffly.
Keep telling yourself that, my dear,
Camille replied as she stood.
But in my long life I've found that morals persist only for so long as they're convenient, and are the first casualties of desperation.
Her eyes flicked down to Caitlin's gloved hand, which had a faint patina of blood from where she had wiped the stock of her rifle.
I do not have morals, Brigadier Kerman. Nor do I pretend to them. I have standards, and those are not so easy to discard.
What do you want from me?
Caitlin snarled.
I want to help you,
Camille replied, and she sounded almost genuine.
But you're not ready. So I'll tell you what.
She set a hand on Caitlin's shoulder.
When you are ready for me to cauterize that bleeding heart, just let me know. You and I could do great things together.
Caitlin shrugged off her hands as she stood and glowered into the older woman's mechanical eyes.
Get the fuck out of my tent!
As you say, Brigadier,
Camille replied with a faint smile before stooping to pass the flap of the command tent. Walking stiffly to her chair, Caitlin collapsed into it, pulled off her stained gloves, and buried her face in her hands. She could still hear the crack of the artisan's nose echoing in her ears when she'd struck him. She'd never done that before. No, she'd shot and killed plenty. She'd taken lives and wielded violence, but always against the guilty, never against the people. In the City of Progress, there was often very little room for things like faith. Caitlin herself had never been a woman of faith, nor had her mother. Her father had been the spiritual one. Being from Ionia, that land of spirits, it was perhaps inevitable. Caitlin had always taken more after her mother than her father, and never had she wished more that it were the opposite than in that moment as she clasped her hands, pressed her forehead to her knuckles, and prayed that Vi and Jace would turn something up. Something that would ideally end the war outright. But for the moment, Caitlin would have settled for something that might make Camille's offer sound less enticing.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.